But from my perspective, of course I do it. I just am recognizing through my doctrine that God is the one who gives me the ability to do it. God is the one who's acting on me that I should do it. And that it is by His power that these things are written in my heart, though I'm praying and seeking them. But He put it in me to have a heart to pray and seek Him. But others, not so. I want to have the proof of my faith. I want to have my election to be proven to be sure to me, not to God. God already is sure. But if those things happen to me, I can be sure. What would cause me to doubt? If those things weren't happening to me, I would have cause to doubt, right? If I didn't have virtue, if I had maybe other things working. And I'm thinking of Galatians, as I'm saying this, Galatians chapter 5, where Paul talks about the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, which is false doctrine, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It is in the doing of works unrighteousness. Is it just these? No, it's and such like. Just like things like lacking self-control. There's all kinds of sins beneath these sins and buried underneath these things. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You know, all the things that men do. Whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. If you serve sin, you're a child of the devil and you're going to perish. You're not going to inherit eternal life. You're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So they which do those things, which do these things that Paul talked about in Galatians 5 verses 19 through 21, if they do that, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not get in. And if they teach you that you can enter in while doing those things, they're liars. And they themselves are not entering, and they're not letting you enter. Because they haven't taught you to accept the promises of God. That by these promises we may be partakers of the divine nature. Because His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. These are things I'm alluding to Peter chapter 1. I allude to it all the time. Because it's the gospel. It is the gospel of God. Faith is not just this amorphous thing. I have faith in faith. If I believe in belief, I can have what I want. No, faith works like this. If I hear God and believe what He says, I'll have it all. Verse 14, the second woe. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. With each of these woes, there's a sort of a contrast with the Beatitudes. You know, happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. These shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. Happy are they that mourn. And here, widows are being devoured and not comforted. Long prayers are being made without regard to the effective nature of those prayers, meaning to comfort those that mourn, to comfort those that are in sorrow, to bring solace and salvation to those who lack. I'm going to make a long prayer, oh God. You know, they get up in church and they make the long prayers. You know, think about it. When we go, do we want to, you know, we come to church, do we come to hear long prayers? Do people come to make long prayers? And there's nothing wrong with praying long. But for a pretense, I'm going to show people how holy I am. I'm going to make a long prayer. You know, a lot of details. Or, you know, sometimes people write out prayers ahead of time. Let's make a prayer. I can't, you know what, the funny thing is, this religion industry is so loaded with hypocrites these days that it boggles the mind. And I wonder, these must be the most cynical people on the earth. Because they have to sit here and read this stuff. And then perform it. And then perform it! Truly. The Apostle Paul spoke the truth when he said, we speak the wisdom of God, which God hath hidden in a mystery. The hidden wisdom. And I paraphrase, of course. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For if they'd known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You know, if these ministers of unrighteousness who go around masquerading as the ministers of righteousness were to know the wisdom, to really understand what they were doing, meaning, if they really believed that God was true and that this was really the word of God and that they understood that it was against them and their deeds, out of the sense of self-preservation, they definitely would not do it because these are slippery snakes. That's why God blinds them, so that he may take them in their wickedness. Remember, God hath created all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the evil day. Proverbs 16:4. God created the wicked to destroy the wicked. So the wicked have a purpose. And that is good. Because in my faith, when I thought there was no purpose to evil, I couldn't understand it. What's the purpose? It has a purpose. It was intentional. I mean, if it's accidental, then I think, like, what's with God? He's let this go, you know, the effect of, you know, Satan and all that stuff, that's like Chernobyl, an accident. God's kind of reckless with his power. No, it's all intentional. That gives me comfort. As a person of some intellect, it would be hard for me to believe in a God who didn't do all this stuff on purpose. Like, I can understand, like, trying to figure out why and not understanding why. I can cope with that. But to understand that it was purposed, to me, makes it, okay, I can accept that God is smarter than me. And therefore, I have to learn something about why this all happens. And I've definitely been reconciled to that. But to think that it was not on purpose and just sort of, whoops, look what happened, evil everywhere. I don't know how that happened. I guess I shouldn't have given everybody free will. That I cannot countenance. I can't believe in a God like that. Anyways, there's greater damnation in those deeds. Comfort the widows. Pray earnestly. Verse 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye, and what is hypocrite? We keep reading it. Hypocrites, 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 hypocrites. It means like to act under. You know, you're putting on an act, to act under a false part, to play act. You know, they're acting. We usually think of hypocrisy in terms of they say and do not. Oh, you said I should do this. You're a hypocrite because you don't do it yourself. And the reason we define hypocrisy in terms of the way Jesus used the term of the scribes and Pharisees who were like that. You're playing a part. You're acting a part. You know, you're putting on a show for people. You're doing things to be seen of men. But I see your heart, what's really going on. You know, they were in positions because they aspired to those positions. I want to be a minister. I want to follow in my father's footsteps. I want to inherit his giga ministry and his giant church and his millions of dollars.